Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club where you read a different trade paperback every week.
No, we read a different trade paperback, not them.
You guys read a different trade paperback, and we didn't try and figure out what it was.
You can't listen unless you read it. Just kidding. We read a different trade paperback every single week.
Dude, I almost had it perfect, and you fucked it up.
Whatever, keep going.
I know he's Nathan. We're brothers who read comics.
Yes, we sure do. This is the second episode of a back-to-back recording that we're doing because we're on vacation. So this one's going to be a little bit shorter because obviously there's not any news that's happened since when we just recorded 5 minutes ago to right now.
And there will not be a pull list because we have not gone to the comic shop.
We have not watched anything new. So it's just going to be the book, but we still wanted to record it so that while we're gone,
there's some more hot content.
There's some more hot content. Yeah. We can't stop with the content. But if there was news, what do you think would happen? What do you think is going to be announced from when we record to like next week?
Oh, dude, I'm so bad at these.
There's probably a new Batman book being announced.
Probably.
With Brian Michael Bendis, we'll say.
I think The Bad Batch will be renewed for a second season.
Okay, nice. So you think that'll happen in like next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like...
maybe we'll get some sort of Comic-Con announcement.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get a Comic-Con announcement. Probably some DC property will be announced that won't come to fruition for a long time.
Like 6 years.
Do you think a trailer will come out in the next 2 weeks of something? Like an Eternals trailer?
Dude, I don't know. There's been like, I feel like trailers have just been dropping like left and
right. It's been random. Like that Marvel one where it was like, did you see that montage like, Marvel one with everything?
It was like the Eternals for like a second.
Yeah.
And then so all the new movies.
They have Eternals footage. I'm going to say that an Eternals trailer comes out.
Because that's supposed to come out like in November, right?
I think so.
Which is insane.
Yeah, it's unreal. So yeah, that's the news for this week. That probably happened.
We're not sure though.
Yeah, we're not sure though. So don't believe it. We're fake generalists. But yep. Anyway, we'll just go right into the book that we read this week. We decided to do a shorter one just because we had to read two different trades in a week and write notes and stuff about it. But this is a book that you brought up a while ago on the show, and I've always kind of had this in the back of my mind as like something I've really wanted to get to.
Yeah, this is a really high up there and. Like comics, like in general.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Jason.
Yeah, his name is just Jason.
Yeah, it's like some Finland name or something.
He's a Norwegian artist. Norwegian. I looked it up.
So he's kind of hard to find, but yeah, he just goes by Jason. Yeah. This is like one of my favorites by him.
Uh-huh.
And so when you said a short one, I'm like, we got to do this one.
Yeah, and he's like the kind of artist that just does like... It feels like what comics used to be like when they were like newspapers and stuff, where it's just like really simplistic kind of art and like
comic strips and stuff.
Yeah. So this one's called I Killed Adolf Hitler. And just before we get into it, I really enjoy this book. And it's
really, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you would like it because it's a vibe. You know?
It is a vibe. It's like, it's only like 50 pages. So it took me like 30 minutes to read.
Yeah,
because it's very quick, and Jason's like the kind of artist that gives a premise that's simple, like on the surface, but through like really clever subtlety and like minimalism, he creates like a much bigger theme that's about love and like second chances and how to like live your life, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the premise is just trying to hunt down Adolf Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
But through that, it's clearly like about something else, but on the surface it just kind of keeps you engaged with the Hitler storyline.
Exactly. So, a lot of his books are like that, which is what I kind of like, because it's also subtle, but you might not even catch it the first time around.
Yeah. He's like, his style is so fun and like comedic, but it's also like off-putting at times.
It's very like,
it's like morbid.
Bland. Yeah, kind of that too.
Like it's morbid at times, despite being a book that's brightly colored and about animals based, or like everybody's an anthropomorphized animal.
Anthropomorphic, yeah.
Yeah.
Good word.
So it's just on the... At first glance, it's just like silly little animals doing things.
Yeah.
And like with guns and stuff. But like it's just... It goes so much deeper with so little, I feel like. It kind of blows my mind, you know?
This is kind of like what a lot of indie comics feel like. Like stuff from like Fantagraphics and things like that. But this is like definitely in like the top tier.
This is a Fantagraphics book, isn't it?
Yeah. Awesome. That's why I say that.
Nice. He really nails the personified animals and really uses that like simple rule to like his benefit. That's like a constant thing throughout his books, right?
They're all like, drawn the same.
Okay. Yeah, he really like uses that to his advantage, like show distinction between characters, and like the designs themselves are like these like lanky animals with kind of long bodies, long arms, but they have like big eyes with no pupils in them. So at times it creates like a subtle, like emotionless kind of feeling in the, in the cartooning. Like he's like not an artist. He's like a cartoonist.
Oh, 100%. You know,
that's like kind of what the style is. So yeah. And I think a premise like this in like a normal comic that's produced by like Image or something, this could probably be stretched out to like 5 issues. But Jason kind of cuts out a lot of that bullshit of like exposition and stuff that needs to like fill the pages, and kind of just manages to keep me glued to the book like the entire time.
Yeah, I think all of his books are like 50 pages.
Really?
Like, that's exactly, for some reason.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
It's 50 pages with like the beginning stuff too. So like the whole book itself. I think this one's technically like 48 pages, but
yeah, like 40 something.
Yeah, so it's really good. I definitely recommend it, even if you're not like a, I don't know, like, even if you don't read a lot of the comics we talk about, it's a quick read. I would honestly give this to like anybody.
Really anybody, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's not a big commitment, like we said. So.
No, it's only a quick 30-minute read, and it's fun, and there's twists and turns, and it's silly and
crazy. And I think like just in general as like, so obviously there's like time travel involved.
Yeah.
This is like top tier as far as a time travel book.
Yeah, that, just exactly.
Just like what happens and the concept and stuff like that.
And all done in 48 pages.
Right.
It's crazy.
I'm glad you liked it as much as I like it.
Yeah, I love it. I would definitely want to read some more of his stuff going forward, for sure. Because this is my first introduction to him, and I think it's awesome. I fuck with it so hard.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So since it is just like straight through like 50 pages, I kind of like split it up like a normal comic book, because that's what I'm used to. So I basically split it up like every 10 pages, kind of what happens, because there's a lot that is covered like every couple pages. So in the first 10 pages, we're introduced to like a nameless protagonist.
I called him Greg.
Okay. He's Greg.
Greg.
Greg is a hitman in a world where being a hitman is like completely normal and legal. And
I guess
this guy does it just for money. He has it's his job, because he has like an office and stuff set up, but he doesn't need to know anything more about the targets than just their name and their photo and their address. And so his first job that we see, he's sniping a target down, and in the room there's a girl with him saying that she's like horny, but clearly is just kind of like laying there and seems to be bothered by like Greg's work. And then after the killing, the hitman kind of brings up the idea of seeing other people. So like that's what happens like the first couple pages.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a name for the girl?
No, she has a name.
Does she? What's her name?
You know what? I gave her the name of X.
I gave her the name of X too.
Really?
Yeah. So they're X's now.
Yeah.
So we even see like a line of customers outside of his office. We kind of get like a montage of this hit of Greg being hired to assassinate people for as little as like someone cheating on the customer, or like not getting promoted, or even playing music too loud.
Yeah, like a loud neighbor.
Yeah, like a loud neighbor. So, I think that Jason's like so good in his cartooning. Like he uses the same composition in like each panel, so like the background and the foreground and everything are the same. It's just like he does like slight tweaks of Greg or like the customers that are there to like explain like the conversation basically, and portray that emotion. But it makes it simple for your mind to like understand what's going on and read through it.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting because he doesn't really look different from like anybody else. Like even though he's a hitman, he's still a guy that wears a suit and tie, or like a button-up shirt and like a tie, and he's like sitting in a normal looking office. So you can almost like it's almost like a, what do you call it, not a hyperbole, it's almost like a metaphor for just like your own life, and you're sitting in an office and, you know, doing your normal work,
that you look like everybody else.
Well, I think it's kind of meant to be portrayed that it's a guy.
It's still like a job.
Yeah,
like
it's still, though, it's just a normal job for him.
It's still mundane, and he has to do it.
Yeah, he's just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
So, anyway,
being a hitman.
He's on the way to this bar after work, and we see someone on the street next to him get killed by an assassin, and then he goes about his day like nothing happened. So, this kind of helps paint the picture throughout the book about how normal this is for some reason, that people are just getting assassinated. And it actually is like a legal thing. Like, because he obviously has an office, and that's what he does. That's his job.
I thought, so in my head, it's like people just know about his office because of word of mouth. He could say that he's an accountant.
It could be, but there's people that get hired to assassinate people all the time. Like, other people do it in this book. So anyway, like, he sees someone gets murdered. He's not affected by it at all. He just kind of goes on about his day. Well,
maybe because like he kills so often that seeing another person get killed is just like doesn't faze him kind of thing.
That could be it too. Yeah. That's like the first 10 pages. Now, 11 through 20, it's like after a day of work, he's at a bar and then he goes back home to watch some TV. And while he's watching TV, he sees a reflection of another assassin attempting to kill him through the TV. Like, he sees the reflection of the TV and sees the assassin behind him.
Yeah.
And then he manages to take him down with, like, a fight. And then he throws him through his window and kills him.
Yeah.
And I really like that action scene because it's still, like, the same, like, emotionless face. Like,
he, like, karate chops and, like,
the gun out of the way. Hand,
and then he, like, throws his dinner at his head.
He, like, frisbees his dinner plate at the dude's forehead.
It looks like he's having some pancakes or something for dinner. I don't know
what that's about, but yeah, I really like that panel where you see like the reflection because
you know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a great way to like portray that. Mm-hmm. And the pacing of it's really good because there's like four panels of fighting and then it's just crashed through the window, and every page is like eight panels. It's like a 2x4 composition of panels.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it again really simple for like my brain to comprehend like the pacing, and like every page kind of feels like the same time allotted to each one.
Yeah, it helps with like the panel-to-panel reading because you just like hold it one way and just keep swiping.
That's true. I still read it on my phone, but sideways.
Yeah.
So where like the whole page is shown, but I'm just kind of scrolling through the pages as opposed to panel by panel. That's what I do with every book, though.
Right.
So after that happens with the assassin, Greg goes to confront his ex-girlfriend, asking if she was the one who hired the hitman to kill him. And the ex denies it, saying that Greg kills like hundreds of people pretty frequently. So it could be just like a widow or like a kid that wants to get revenge. So
right.
Greg kind of believes it and then he leaves. The next day at work, a man shows up at his office and gives him a photograph of the next target for Greg, which is Adolf Hitler. And then the customer explains that he would do it with a time machine to go back in time and kill Hitler.
I like the panel where he's like, how am I supposed to accomplish this?
Because yeah, like the pacing of it's so fun. He's like, the customer's like, I would like you to kill this man. Gives him a photo. It's a silent panel. He looks at the photo. And he's like, then the next one is like, how am I supposed to accomplish this? Like,
yeah,
it's just him being like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then he's just like, just show up at this address like tomorrow. And that he just goes to the address.
Yeah. He's like, the customer's like, I realize this is weird and unusual, but I'm not crazy. It's for the good of humanity. Hitler killed like a significant amount of people and stuff, and the risk is high, but the reward is high. And so Greg's like, just give me half now and half afterwards, I guess. Like,
yeah.
So the contract is like accepted. And then the next scene is Greg showing up at like this warehouse where the time machine is. And since going back in time takes so much energy, it's like established that there's really only one time jump every 50 years.
Yeah, it takes like 50 years to charge the thing.
Basically.
So he can go to the destination using clicking this button, and he can go back by clicking it one more time, and then that's like the battery.
Yeah, that's it. So the hitman gets in kind of without a word the whole time, actually, and he goes back in time to Nazi Germany.
I like the time travel panel.
Dude, the time travel panel is so funny because it's just like...
just upside down with no face.
It's just like
this swirl thing.
Swirls in the background, and it's like clearly something crazy is going on, but he's so like nonchalant about it. Like this is just a normal day. And then he wakes up, or he's back. He leaves the time machine and he's in Nazi Germany. Like it just... like it's another fucking day of the week for him.
Like he's down the hall from Hitler. That's where the time machine stops.
Yeah, apparently the hitman goes back in time. He sneaks up on Hitler and is like about to shoot him when another Nazi member tackles Greg down and knocks him out. But then Hitler goes into the time machine, hits the button, goes back to the present with the same like swirly effect and everything. And Hitler, even Hitler's nonchalant about it. He doesn't think anything's fucking weird about it. But Hitler steps out and you're like, oh shit, Hitler's in the present now. But then he's shot by the hitman who's now 50 years older because he was stuck in the past.
Yeah.
Which is like fucking wild because just
right off the bat you're like, fuck, dude.
I'm like, what just happened? Like that was insane.
So much just happened in like one page.
Like what happened in that time where he was in the past and stuff? And so like one, I think it's really funny how the hitman just shows up, and literally that whole scene from him showing up the warehouse to him getting in the time machine and getting stuck in the past, he doesn't say a single thing. So like
to his like younger self.
Well, Greg doesn't say anything the whole time. Like,
oh yeah,
from getting in to getting out and getting knocked out. And like the twist that Greg lived through the past was just insane to me and not expected. The time travel panel's perfect. And then I like how old Greg now has just like four wrinkle lines that are just added.
He's got some
above his eyes and then like his mouth, kind of.
Yeah, his forehead.
And it, like, it works for some reason. Like, I know that he's 50 years older now. I don't know why that works in my head, because it's just four lines, but it totally, he nails it. Now, pages 21 to 30, the hitman, he needs help moving Hitler's body. Mm-hmm. So he goes to his ex's house to explain why he's old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he explains, since he's so old, he needs help moving the body because he can't do that shit anymore.
And I guess this like scientist dude can't help for some reason.
Because he's also old, maybe?
Yeah.
So then, meanwhile, back at with Hitler, he actually gets up because it turns out he was shot where his book of Mein Kampf was. So the bullet was stopped by his own novel, which just happened to be in his shirt jacket. So Hitler escapes. But it's kind of nice that the ex is like willing to help, even though the hitman's saying that like he's not forcing her to.
Yeah.
Like, he totally leaves it up to her. Like, you don't have to if you don't want to. And she's like, there's like a funny two panels where after he says you don't have to, the ex kind of like looks down a little bit. And then the next panel is just them walking casually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not running. They're not.
That's like her like thinking. It's like,
Yeah. She's like thinking. And then the next one, they're just casually walking just to go get Hitler, you know. It's just normal. So anyway, Hitler leaves. And then the ex lets Greg sleep over and decides to help find Hitler. Meanwhile, we see Hitler shaves his head and his mustache like blend in with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the ex decides to go to a library because she thinks that Hitler might want to know what happened in history. So he might go to a library and figure out, like, check out some history books.
Mm-hmm.
And they find a book of, they find like a biography of his, like a Hitler biography book. And they find a book of like theories about how he died, one of which being like an alien, like UFO picking him up, because that's what that one guy thought the UFO was, or the time machine. But both of those books are from the same author. So their thinking is they should stake out this guy's place in case Hitler wants to figure out what happened to him or what happened to history. So essentially, they stake out this author's house. And there's like a few sequences where they just like are waiting outside this author's house. Like, they figure out where he lives. And the silence is just so weird. And like the conversations are just so short.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, it's just silly. Like, they're just staking out this guy's house to try and find Hitler, and they're, it's like, it's just normal.
They're not that alarmed by like the situation. They're not like freaking out. They're just like, this is what we gotta do today.
Yeah, they're like, this is where he lives. And then they stand there, and then they're like, how do we know that he's here? And so Greg goes to like pick up the phone, and then he comes back, stands back in the same spot, and he's like, he's there. And then she was like, what did you say to him? And he's like, I just hung up. So, and then they just like start standing there for a few more panels. But so then they leave eventually, and they're eating, and then the ex sees a picture in Greg's wallet and finds out that Greg had like a whole family with like a wife who died like 12 years ago, and he has like grandkids.
Yeah.
And the ex is like kind of put off by this, and then it immediately goes to Greg taking the next day, like staking out the author's house by himself, and then the next panel is him apologizing to her for like not telling her about his family and stuff. So like, I think I just, Jason's use of just like one panel to demonstrate an entire day of a stakeout going by, I think is just really funny, because he's just like, he's standing there by himself doing this really strange thing of trying to hunt down Hitler, but it's just like another day on the job, but she's not there, so you know something's up. And it's just, that's all kind of communicated with just one panel, and then he eventually goes to apologize, and I think that's done really well.
It's very like minimalist almost, but it like gets the point across.
Yeah,
you understand what happened there.
Yeah, exactly. So then pages 31 through 40, so they finally see the author leave his house, but all he really does is just go to get the paper, the daily newspaper from a stand, and then he goes back home. And then later, the ex explains that she has a date today. And when her date comes over, the ex says that Greg is her grandfather because he's like super old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on their date. But after they have their date, Greg tails the date, that dude that was the ex's date, for a while. And he almost shoots him, but then he stops himself and then lets the date go.
Yeah.
So like, what a weird, it's like such a weird way, but normal in this situation, I guess, to like display jealousy. And also demonstrate that, like, he still has feelings for her because he's jealous, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all done because he's a hitman. He's just referring to what he knows, which is killing people, but then he stops himself. So it's just like there's a lot of conflicting emotion there,
mm-hmm.
with a sequence that's like, again, like eight panels and completely silent.
Right.
Like he's just so good at the minimalization. Also, staking out this author, if it didn't work in like the first few days, why would they like still stay there, you know? Like
they
realistically.
Like, they were waiting to see if like Hitler went to go like visit him.
Yeah.
And so maybe he's just not, hasn't found the book yet and figured out where he lives and how resourceful the
That's true.
21st century could be.
That's true. That's true. So anyway, they continue tailing the author, and they've even started writing down what he does day to day, but there's still no Hitler. After that, there's a sequence where X and Greg share a moment over a song that comes up on the radio, and the X says that they used to dance to the song together. Greg doesn't remember this, but he does recount the day that they met, which led to like them standing out in a rainy day, and there's like a kiss on the cheek. So they're kind of like recalling their past relationship in this very weird situation where he's 50 years older.
Right.
And like, yeah. So it's just, it's like tragic in a way, almost. Like they clearly had good times together.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like work got in the way of them focusing on like what's important. Mm-hmm. And then they just like missed their chance.
Right.
And it's very weird to have that all displayed in this story where they're trying to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
But it's done very effectively. So they tell the author more and more, and they even see who he meets with occasionally. And then the hitman even has like a dream where he finds Hitler accidentally, and then all of a sudden he's naked because his clothes go away. And then in the next panel, Hitler says something that's unknown to him because the speech bubble is blank, and then he wakes up, which is like a really weird sequence. But like then like after that, he goes to sleep with his ex in the same bed, which is like a big step. But have you ever had like a dream like that where you're just like naked for some reason? Because
no.
I have all the time.
Really? No, that's never been like a thing for me for some reason.
I've had dreams where I'm like at school. I was in like high school at the time, and I'm like sitting in class, and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't have any pants. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I have to like figure out how to get out of school without nobody knowing I don't have any pants on.
Oh, maybe, or like, that.
Or like same thing with like
not
a shirt.
Like naked though.
I don't know if I was like naked, but yeah, it's like in like my boxers or something at school, and I'm like, this is embarrassing. I can't let anybody see me. Mm-hmm. So like I understand that, like in this story where he just like all of a sudden turns naked because it's just a dream, and there's weird shit going on. But the last like 10 pages, it's Tuesday comes along, and they know that the author never leaves his house or does anything on Tuesday, so they go to get food, and the ex brings up that Greg's birthday was today, and Greg is surprised that she remembers. And it brings up the memory that they used to celebrate like a bunch of his birthdays together. So they get wasted, and then the next day they're staking out the author's apartment, like all hungover and stuff, which I think is funny.
They have like sunglasses on, and then
sunglasses on.
They have like a little squiggly line to represent like headache, I guess.
Yeah, headache, hangover. There's like a little coffee cup of them they're trying to drink because they're like so hungover.
Yeah.
Then eventually, that day they went to go get some food, and the ex says fuck it and goes to ask the author about Hitler. But all she gets back is the author says hit the road, crazy lady. And then so they leave, and then they go and get some more food. It's in this scene that the hitman realizes that this is all like pointless, and he only has a few years left to live, and he shouldn't be spending that time trying to track down Hitler. So he kind of makes this realization, and as he makes that, there's a separate assassination attempt in the restaurant that goes wrong, and there's a gunshot that misses, and that bullet goes straight through Greg's head, which kills him at the table, which is just insane.
Is that like so tragic?
It's like it's so sad and morbid, and like he like just makes a realization like, I can't live my life like this.
Yeah.
I need to fulfill it as much as I possibly can with what I have left, and then he dies. And like that panel with like the bullet through his head and like the blood splatter on the wall.
Page turner.
It's so heavy.
Yeah, like when it hits him, it hits you, you know?
You're like, oh. I'm like, why couldn't it have been me? Like, not Greg.
I mean, if he was able to, you know, yeah, no, I was like, maybe there's a way to undo what happened, but no, not really.
Yeah. So it kills him there. And so in the last few pages, the ex is like disturbed by what happened. She goes home, she can't sleep, And then all of a sudden she says no. She's like not accepting what just happened. And the book jumps to 50 years later. She's an old woman and she goes to the warehouse where the time machine is, and she gets in the time machine, which now has had time to recharge because it takes 50 years. And she goes back in time to when Hitler comes through the time machine.
In the warehouse.
And Hitler is shot by Greg, but he's not dead because he has the Mein Kampf book. But then the X comes up out of nowhere and says to put a bullet in his head. So Greg does and kills Hitler. What a fucking twist.
Right?
Like,
isn't that so fucking good?
She was so determined that 50 years go by. It seems like she's in the same apartment too. But
right.
She remembers like when it's going to be 50 years, goes back in time, and finishes the job. She double taps Hitler, essentially.
Right.
Or helps Greg double tap Hitler.
I put that in my notes, double taps.
Yeah. Which is so crazy. And then, like, there's a really great sequence where Greg asks who she is, and then she says the same thing that Greg says to her when he first came back.
Don't you recognize me?
Yeah, don't you recognize me? And then he remembers. He, like, it all clicks in his head, which is, like, a really cool thing that they did, too. But then, literally, the last page is they go to a park, and they sit on a park bench, and the ex admits that she was the one that hired the other hitman to kill him because she was pissed at him at the time when they broke up. And she was mad at herself, but more than mad at him. And she says that she's glad that that hitman missed and then apologized for what happened. Mm-hmm. And to which Greg says it's okay because it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Which is
how,
like,
about that, Nathan?
Another twist, a third twist.
A third twist.
That the ex hired a hitman to kill Greg.
Which he denied at first.
Which, yeah, she denied at first and then comes clean. Which really shows, like, how much they've matured to the point where they can move past their, like, previous struggle.
Yeah.
And, like, live the remainder of their life in happiness. Mm-hmm. Because they're, like, more mature now and they don't have much time to live, so they live it together and, like, happily ever after.
Nathan, how long have I been trying to get you to read Jason books?
Dude, so long. And which, like, I wasn't against it. It was just, like, we needed an episode on it. Yeah. You know? And, like, this is something that you can crank out right before bed, you know?
Yeah, so good.
It's awesome. Big, like, fan. I love it. It's so fun, easy to read, and there's so much that's, like, displayed in his cartooning that I can't possibly explain.
It's weird that there's so much heart in something where, like, the main characters, like, don't crack a smile or anything.
Yeah.
They're just straight-faced the whole time.
Straight-faced. They act like nothing special is happening the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole story is carried by, I guess, how crazy everything is that's happening, but it also communicates with you in such a way.
It's showing that people can grow, Nathan.
It's like people can grow, but also, like, if this is your day-to-day job and you don't like it, do what fulfills you, you know?
Yeah.
Because a big part of their life, the both of them, was trying to stake out the author's place day-to-day, every single day, to try and find Hitler. But what's the point? They have, like, a life too, so you might as well, you know, do what makes you happy kind of deal.
Right.
So there's a lot that is said there without being said, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad you unpacked it like that much.
Yeah, so I fuck with it. I love Jason. Everybody, I recommend it to anybody, and I'm excited to read his other stuff.
Yeah,
so
I'm glad you liked it so much.
There's no back matter.
Yeah, just like a back page thing.
It's a back page thing. Jason draws himself as a anthropomorphic animal as well. It says he was born in Norway in 1965. Suddenly, he spoke to a cat. Winter filled the room. They could see the ocean. I don't know what that all means, but, like,
dude, so much more to unpack.
That I can't even begin to understand. But yeah, Jason's great, and this book's awesome. So I recommend reading it. So no back matter, and obviously no pull list, because we are recording this back to back with Jupiter's Legacy episode. So that's the show for this week, Daniel.
Alrighty.
Thank you, everybody, for listening for this shorter episode. Hopefully it was short and sweet, just like Jason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to reach us, feel free to email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com, or we are on Twitter at tradewaiterspod, or I'm at more like Nathic, NathicC. I be tweeting.
You be tweeting. Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our theme.
Yep.
And thank me for all the other little songs that I wrote and recorded.
Yeah, fine. Thank you, Daniel.
Yes.
For what you do, I guess.
I can sleep now.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.